If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
Numbers chapter 13, listen carefully. Moses sent them out with these instructions. Listen carefully. I'm reading out of the Living Bible again. Go northward into the hill country of Negeb and see what the land is like. See also what the people are like who live there, whether they are strong or weak, many or few. And see if the land is fertile or not, and what cities there are, and whether they are villages or fortified. See if the land is rich or poor, and whether there are many trees. Don't be afraid, and bring back some samples of the crops that you see. He said that because this is the season that the first grapes were being harvested. And so here in Numbers 13, 17 through 20, Moses is doing something that I still can't reconcile myself to, but I understand it, but I don't particularly agree with it. As a leader, he should not have left the opinion of the land to the people, because they don't see what the leader sees. But this passage is indicative of the fact that their view of Moses has begun to change. This is identified earlier on in the book of Numbers when they were complaining about his apostolic leadership. And the complaint caused God to intervene. And what God was trying to do in his intervention was to get them to see Moses as his servant. And they still were incapable of doing that. So then Moses figures, to be politically correct, I'll get some leaders, tribal leaders, to go up and spy out the land, bring it back to the people so that they'll see that I know what I'm talking about. And we often do that. We often try to get people to validate what we say, to collaborate what we say, so that we won't be left out in the cold. Moses sends them with specific instructions, even to the point of the direction that they should use to go up into the country. You can't make it any clearer than this. And then he says, and bring back some of the grapes. Now, the text tells us early on who he deputized to go, and he says each one was a leader. That would be the same as me saying, we're about to buy this plot of land, and I'm sending the deacons, the elders, the deaconesses, the ministers, and I'm sending all of them who are supposed to be connected with me. Everyone thinks that deacons, elders, ministers, deaconesses are connected with the pastor. It's just a universal thought. Okay, so if I send them out and then at the business meeting, I say, you know what, saints, we're going to have the deacons stand up first and tell you what they saw. Now, I haven't talked to them because I believe that they're connected to me. I haven't debriefed the ministers because I believe they're connected to the vision. So I will say to the people, the leaders are going to stand up and tell you what they saw. I'm going to sit down because, praise God, you're going to see that they're with me. They're with me. But what Moses should have done was debrief them personally. In sending them out, he was running the risk that these people were in the same season that he was in. If I can use this metaphorically, he was in the summer, they were still in the winter. Why? Because the winter makes you withdraw. It makes you stay in the house. You don't even sit out on the steps because it's too cold. Moses was in the summer. Be bold, go outside, move into something new and exciting. Here's what they said. So they spied out the land, verse 21 of Numbers 13. They spied out the land all the way from the wilderness of Zin to Rahab near Hamath. Going northward, they passed first through the Negeb and arrived at Hebron. There they saw the Amalekites and all the other ites and all the other people that they saw. All right. So it says, and then, verse 23, it says, then they came to what is now known as the Valley of Eshcol, where they cut down a single cluster of grapes that was so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back some pomegranates and figs. Now, verse 23, I wish I was teaching this on Wednesday, but verse 23 tells you the mind of God. He does not lead you into a place that's not fruitful. When you search through the scriptures, principles, promises, practices, when you search and procedures, when you search through this book, you will never find God leading his people into a dry, dreary, infertile land. Never. Never. That's the devil's job, to make your life depressed. It is not the will of God that you should be on Prozac. Now, you might be, for any clinical reason. I'm not arguing that. But it's not the will of God that you should be on Equinil. If you're a child of God, you shouldn't be on lithium to be treated for schizophrenia. That's not the will of God. You may need to be on it to treat the schizophrenia, and you should take your meds. But it's not the will of God, because the Bible says he wants you, he says he has not given you the spirit of fear. And that word fear is the word phobia, phobia. He said, but he has given you power of love and a sound. God doesn't want you to be schizophrenic. He doesn't want you to suffer from multiple personality disorder. He doesn't want you to go through. God wants you to be single-minded. He wants you to be stable, steadfast, without mental depression. So wherever he's leading you, hallelujah, is better than where you are. Because if where you are is better, then he wouldn't prepare a new thing. Hallelujah. There are some people in your life. Your season is over. He's trying to give you new people, but you won't let him because you keep holding on to the old people. It's not easy to go someplace new. It's not easy. It ain't easy. The disconnect is hard because of the comfort. It's not easy. You're being called to a new place. The hardest thing you're going to have to learn, son, is to shut your ear to the many voices around you. They may mean you well, but they can't do more for you than God. The hardest thing is to walk away. But that's what he's calling you to. And it can become conflicting because of comfort, because of stability. God will destabilize you. Oh, yes, he'll move you. This is what he's doing. But see, here's the key. Notice this. Glory. It says, they brought back some pomegranates and figs. And the Israelites named the valley Eshcol, meaning cluster. In other words, God doesn't send you someplace where there's just one grape. Why? Because the principle of God for his children, and you, when you grab this, it's going to liberate you. See, we fight with things culturally and racially that are preventing, those things are preventing our spiritual ascension. You have literally believe the lie of our culture that is enslaving you and keeping you from being what God wants. You've programmed yourself as Hamites to think that you should fail. And that's why you won't reach for something greater. You are satisfied with a 40-hour week because your perception is that you're making money. All right, let me change that speech. You are making money, but don't put a period there. Put a comma and put these words, for somebody else. That is the definition of job. The definition of job is, yes, I make money, comma, for somebody else. And you are prone to believe that that's your spiritual lot in life. And you rejoice. You rejoice with limitation. Praise God, I got that job. Hallelujah, I got that job. You rejoice over the limitation. You rejoice over the grapes. But you ignore the land. You walk out with the grapes, but you ignore the position. God didn't send them over there to get grapes. He sent them over there to occupy. We love our grapes because the grapes anesthetize us. They make us think that we've reached the apex or the zenith or the maximum allowable amount of the blessing of God. The moment we get that, look, some of you rejoiced when you got an income tax return. You actually said, thank you, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said, that's poor money management. And you rejoiced in those few hundred or few thousand that you got one time. And now you don't even have it. It's probably a television or a refrigerator or a cruise. And God said, but if you learn my principles, you can go on a cruise and somebody else pay for it. And it won't, and you won't be a con artist. But the Bible says, let me show you. Book of principles, procedures. How you live when you get out of here? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain. Listen to what it says. He gives the heaven to give the rain. Why doesn't God just give you crops? I mean, he's God. He can just speak to the ground and say, grow corn, grow watermelon, grow wheat. No, he sends the rain. That's his job. Your job is to plant the seeds. Why? Because the blessings of the Lord just don't fall down on you. He says he's going to give you the rain. He says, and it's going to be in his season. And that's to bless the work of your hand. Listen to what it says. He's going to send you the rain in his season to bless the work of your hand. So therefore, God removes laziness. The blessings of God are participatory. You work with what he gives you. He does what you can't do. But you can't sit home waiting. You will never grow watching The Guiding Light and All My Children and all those other things all day long. Watch. He says, I love this. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. And then he defines what the good treasure is, the heaven to give you rain. That's his good treasure. Because he said the same thing in Joel. In Joel, he said, now, after you repent and get your life together, I'm going to send you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, all in the same month. And then you, in sowing your seed, will reap a dynamic harvest. So his treasure is the rain. Now, he goes on here in Deuteronomy. He says, he says he's going to bless all the work of your hand in verse 12, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. You hear what he said? God makes you a lender, not a borrower. So therefore, this verse is the will of God. So we have been programmed to borrow. How many of you get notices in the mail from the bank telling you you're pre-qualified? Pre-qualified to put a mortgage against your house. Pre-qualified. You walk into the store. Oh, do you know, I was in the store and they said, oh, Mr. Lambert, you know you qualify for our credit card? I said, I do. She said, yes, sir, you do. Would you like for me to go ahead and authorize that? And you can get 10% off with your first purchase. I said, well, thank you. But how about this? How about I pay cash and you give me 50% off? She said, oh, no, nobody pays cash. Nobody does that. I said, I do. Why? Why do you do that, Mr. Lambert? Because that way I know how much I'm spending. It's called being a good steward. So that at the end of the month, I'm not surprised. Why? Because God gave me the ability to lend. Now, who among you needs me to loan you something this morning? You out of the will of God. If you're a Christian and you raised your hand, you out of the will of God, because you should be lending. Well, everybody run into trouble. No, they don't. That's not the will of God. See, again, we buy the lie. We expect to be broke. We expect, here, even in our speech, child, I just live one paycheck to another. Really? Why? Child, I'm one paycheck from the street. And we just buy that lie. I'm one paycheck from the street. And as long as you think that way, you're going to live that way. Here's what you're doing. Let me show you. And then we're going to stop. All men are liars. Watch this. In Numbers 13, watch this. Woo. Woo. Glory to God. The season is over for you to be broke. That's right. Rejoice, because I just brought you the word of God. The season is over for you to be broke. Now, if you see me as who I am, bringing you the word of God, you ought to rejoice and start making preparations. I just brought you grapes and pomegranates. I just brought you grapes and pomegranates. But watch this. Woo, hallelujah. I preach myself happy. Watch this. I ain't mean to do that. That was not in my glory. Listen to this. In Numbers 13. They had the fruit, right? Okay, so now they got the fruit. Verse 27. And this is what they said. We came to the land where you sent us. And surely it is what you say. It's flowing with milk and honey, which is a biblical term for extremely fertile. We can grow dirt on this land. I mean, it's just fertile, right? It's just fertile. They said, and this is the fruit. So they pulled up the grapes. Now, everybody's faith has just risen. Everybody's faith is high. We are going to do this. This is great. And then they said, nevertheless, See, I stand before you and say, God has commanded us to build a new church. We're going to do this. And there's this feeling that goes through the congregation. Woo, pastor, woo, we're going to build our church. Hallelujah. But this is what's going to cost. Oh, because see, I thought you said God said we were going to build it. I thought you said God said we were going to build it. I didn't know he said we were going to build it. I was all right with God building it. And this is what they did. They had the fruit and they said, the people are strong. Of course they're strong. Why would God lead you to where the people are weaker than you in the natural? Come on. Come on. Why would he do it? Because he knows that if they're weaker than you and you beat them, you take credit. You'll say, child, I did that thing, child. We walked in and laid them out. God said, no, I'm going to let your enemy seem bigger than you so that when you trust me and you realize that if God is on my side, he's more than the world against me, that the battle is not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul. They said, the Amalekites are in the south. And Amalekite, the word means your past. It's synonymous with your past because the Amalekites were always coming up from the south, always behind Israel. So your past always comes up behind you to tell you what you can't do. You think you're going to be a future failure from a past failure. But you better kill that Amalekite. That's why God said, kill all the Amalekites. He said, kill them. Why? Because if your past can imprison you, you will never have a future. You don't have to be a failure because everybody in your graduating class was. Some of you look through your yearbooks and all the boys in your graduating class are in prison. You don't have to go to prison. Break free. That's my past. That's not my future. My present is shaping my future. Now, I've drawn strength from my past, but I don't let it keep me down. My past is my testimony. It tells me how faithful the Lord has been. It tells me that he brought me out of danger. It tells me that he brought me through trials. It tells me that he's provided for me. It tells me that he has never forsaken me. It tells me that he's with me always. It tells me that he's been a strong tower. It tells me that he is trustworthy. It tells me that he is exactly who the Bible says that he is. The Amalekites are in the south, lying scalawags, telling you you can't do it and you believe in it, afraid to go forward because of what happened in your past. Take the risk. It might seem a certain way to you, but that doesn't mean that's how it is. David took one look at Goliath. Now listen carefully. I got to stop. David saw Goliath differently than everybody else. Everybody else saw Goliath as an impregnable giant. David saw Goliath as just another obstacle in the way of the glory of God. They were wondering who was going to go out and fight him. The king offered David his armor, which included his sword. David said, I don't need a sword. I got a rock. Who's walking with me? Who's walking with me? When the devil sends his Goliath, you don't need a theological sword. You got a rock. That rock is Jesus. And when the devil seems bigger than you, throw Jesus at him. Say, devil, you more than I can handle. Take Jesus. Say, Jesus, handle my light work. Jesus, handle this situation. Do you have a rock this morning? The rock. That rock is Christ Jesus. Your past will come up to haunt you. But you made it. Your past couldn't keep you down. You made it, saints. You're here today. You're here. April 2nd, 2017. They told you you wouldn't make it. They wrote you off. But you're here. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Now you need to see what God is about to do. They walked over there and they saw the fruit. But rather than focus on the good, they focused on the bad. Now we're gonna tackle this next Sunday, Lord willing. But I'm going to send you out here with something to think about. The children of Israel have been in bondage for 400 years. 400 years. They didn't see anybody but Egyptians and Hebrews. That's all they saw. That's all they saw. They came out. There was a mixed multitude. We don't know fully what that represents. But there's a mixed multitude with them, and that mixed multitude causes them to challenge Moses' leadership and begin to lust for the things of Egypt. So whoever the mixed multitude was, they had some recollection of the so-called pleasures of Egypt to try to pull the children of Israel back into it. So that's why you have to be careful who you let in your life. Because they have pleasures, they have knowledge of certain pleasures of sin and try to get you back into it. Especially when you're defeated for a moment. But if you notice this passage, the children of Israel identify Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, and Canaanites, and the children of Anak in verse 28. How'd they even know them? How is it that we can always fall to negativity before positive things? We can always draw a negative concept. Oh, you haven't seen John Jones in church for the last 3 weeks. Probably left the church. Rather than, well, let me call my brother and make sure he's all right. Why do we always fall to negative? Your cell phone rings and your spouse hears it ring and ain't you gonna answer it? And you say, well, no, let it ring. Let the voicemail pick it up. Oh, you don't want to talk in front of me. Why don't you go ahead and talk to her now? Because we slide over to the negative. And it could be the person who's planning your surprise party. And he just doesn't want to talk for fear of giving it away. But we're prone to think evil. Now, let me give this to you in my version of the Bible, the Eric Lambert version. I just change a few words around. In verse 27. Surely the land is just what you said it was, Moses. The ground is successful and prosperous, and we're going to be successful in that land. But you know what? There's some people in there that are in our way. And they built some cities with walls so we won't have to build any when we get there. And there were some giants there, the children of Anak. And I think they can make good workers. Because I'm going to need somebody when I get my gravel business to haul them big stones out there to make the gravel for the roads. And there's some Amalekites there, along with Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, and Canaanites. And they're all there. And I think we need to start thinking about a way to tax them for being in our country. Because, see, we going in. Now, we ain't going to be prejudiced. We're going to let them live there, but they got to pay some occupancy tax because this is our land given to us by Jehovah. So I say we pack up and we move in and charge them rent. Now, if they want to fight, that's all right, too. But they going because it's our land. Now, y'all get up, all of you. And let's go. But that's my version. God would not have brought us this far. He would not have kept us for 400 years for us to punk out now. Now, I got to stop. But watch this. They punked out because of their perception. But now let me give you the perception of the ites. Oh, my goodness. There's Hebrew people. They coming in here. Oh, man, let's start getting our family together and move out because we ain't able to stop. Did you hear what they did to the Egyptians? Did you hear that all the firstborn died down there? Oh, I got the word. I got the 411. And I'm telling you right now, I ain't hanging around them people because they got a God you can't see who fights in ways we can't recognize. And did you hear? Wait a minute. I ain't through telling you. Did you hear that they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground? I ain't standing there fooling with these people. I'm out. They were shocked that the Hebrews didn't come in. See, you don't know what your enemy is thinking. You're thinking you lost. The devil is saying, I sure hope they don't know how much authority they have. I sure hope they don't know that they already healed, that they're already blessed, that they're already successful. They don't know that they're in the season of the great outpouring, that they're in the season of divine benefits. They're in the season of the anointing. They're in the season of the power of God. If I can keep them blind, I can keep them bound. Bow your heads. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I am not in the season to die. I am in the season for new things. I went on a jungle safari. And we crossed a rope bridge with planks on it. Underneath the rope bridge was alligators. And the rope bridge was swinging. My family said to me, "You nuts." I said, "No. If the God that I serve can't keep me, then I'm not preaching the right thing." You see, I'm not telling you to go on a rope bridge. I am nuts. But I am saying that as long as you sit in the safety of denial, as long as you sit in the safety of doubt and fear, you will never recognize the excitement, the exhilaration of accomplishing something. I talked with an attorney on Friday, a defense attorney, and we were talking about my forensic career. And he was a Japhethite. And he starts talking to me, and I could tell that he was quizzing me. Because someone had shared with him what I was doing. And he started quizzing me. And I knew what he was trying to do, to see if I was just one of the matchbook students or if I was genuine. By the time we were finished with that 15-minute conversation, his opinion of me had changed. You see, the devil's going to try you. And you better change the devil's opinion of you. by the words that come out your mouth. Send that rascal back to Lucifer saying, you can't mess with them. They know in whom they believe. They believe that Bible. They know that they have victory. They know that this light affliction that we put on them is only for a moment. They know that with his stripes they are healed. They know that weeping may endure for the night. They're waiting on their joy. They know. They know. Preach through it. Hallelujah. Father, stretch forth your mighty hand on us, your children. Bless us and make us a blessing. I pray today, Father, that the word of God would illuminate our minds so that we can step into a new place. A place, Father, where your power and your presence ever abides. Thank you for Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who has gone before us to prepare a way. We pray today that your word would always lead us. Thank you for the challenge, for the new things of God. And I bless you for it now. Amen. Amen. Give him a good hand clap. Hallelujah. Principles, procedures, and promises. That's what the Bible is. Do you know God wants you to be prosperous in every area of your life? That's why he gives you principles. Do you know, how many of you know God wants you healthy? That's why he put dietary laws in here. That's why he says, you listen, I made everything, but everything's not to be eaten. You know that? God made everything, but everything is not to be eaten. God didn't make lobster and crab for you to eat them. He made them to clean up the ocean. He made catfish to clean up the rivers so they wouldn't be overrun by filth and dirt. He didn't make them for you to sit down and steam them and dip them in butter. He didn't do that. He didn't make pigs for you to eat. They hold on to all the toxins in their bodies. They don't sweat. So they hold on to all the filth. And they're the only animals where you could throw the feed right where they defecate. They're the only ones that eat where they defecate. So you're getting that in you too. And so God said, no, I don't want you eating all that. You can't have it because it'll make you sick. So when you do that, when you violate the word of God and you start having physical reactions, preacher, lay your hand on me. My blood pressure is sky high. And you may be violating every promise in this book. Life full of stress. And Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He calls you from stress to rest. Eating all that high sodium food. God says, no, you can't have all that. It's not good for you. And we just keep right on doing it because we believe that that scripture where Paul said, everything's good once you say grace over. Grace and hot sauce. Put some hot sauce on it, that clear up anything. Like the father in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Put some Windex on it. But do you know God wants you to be financially successful? Do you know that? Are you sure? All right, that's why he gave you a procedure called giving. He said, if you give, I'll give back to you. And I'm here to tell you today. I'm here to tell you today. I sowed a seed last week by the Lord's direction. I sowed a $1,000 seed. The same day I sowed it, somebody brought an envelope to me. And in the envelope was five $100 bills. God had given me my money, half my money back, before I even gave it. That envelope was delivered before I sowed the seed. 2 days after, I got another envelope with $600 in it. He gave me $100 over my, no, 11. Yep, he gave me $100 over my seat in days. He said, well, Pastor, he don't move that fast for me because you don't expect it. See, I give like crazy because I expect it. I expect it to come back to me because that's a promise. The promise is it'll come back to you. So I give like crazy, and I've taught my daughter, I've taught my godson. We give. Because they've been taught that when you do that, God gives back to you, and he does. Now, he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't do stuff for me that he doesn't do for you. If you take that step and not let the Amalekites and the Hittites, and we'll go over them next week, and how they stop us from moving into that new dimension. See, the season is gone for you to be poor. The season is gone. No more of that talk, I'm one paycheck away. Let me tell you what I'm one paycheck away from. The next one. I'm not one paycheck from the street. I'm one paycheck from the next one. Because Jesus said, my world is formed and framed by my speech. Some of you say, oh, I want to go to the 30th gala, but I just don't have the money. You'll never have it because you have formed a world that says you don't have it. What you ought to say is, God, I want to go to the 30th anniversary gala. Show me where the money is. Show me the money. That phrase got Cuba Gooding an Oscar. It'll get you your ticket. I'm trying to raise you to another level. Show me my business. Show me my career. Show me my open door. There's always fruit first. Here's the principle. Fruit first, okay? And then you go in. They had the grapes first with the pomegranates, and then they should have gone in. Fruit first, and usually that's in the form of somebody saying, man, you should come on over here. They pay well. We get all kinds of so-and-so, and they franchise. Now it's time to go in and stop thinking and speaking negatively.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
4117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
If you desire to fellowship with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and you are unable to visit Bethel Deliverance International Church, please feel free to attend a service at the Greater Bethel Temple on Sunday, June 11th at 4 p.m. For further details, visit our website at betheldeliverance.org. We're looking forward to fellowship with you.